ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9 and text number 11. This is another famous verse that most of the time we neglect so easily, but it is so profound that this verse, if we understand properly, then our life will be successful. This text number 11 says, Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum asritam param bhavam ajananta mama bhuta maheshwaram. Avajananti means deride. Mam, me, mudha, foolish man, manushim, in a human-like form, tanum, means a body, asritam, assuming, param, means transcendental, bhavam, means natures, ajananta, means not knowing, mama, my, bhuta, of everything that be, mahaishwaram, means the supreme proprietor or a controller. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Oh my God, the purport is so big, it's almost 1, 2, 3, 4 pages. I'm reading and you'll be paying attention?
No.
So at least I will read some part of it, okay? But otherwise you'll be flying high. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So Prabhupada says in the purport, from the other explanations of the previous verses in this chapter, it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing like a human being, He is not a common man. The Personality of Godhead who conducts the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the complete cosmic manifestation cannot be a human being. Yet there are many foolish men who consider Krishna to be merely a powerful man and nothing more. Actually, He is the original Supreme Personality as confirmed in Brahma Sanhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna is the Supreme Lord. There are many Ishwaras or controllers, and one appears greater than another. In ordinary management of affairs in the material world, we find some official or director, and above him there is a secretary, and above him there is a minister, and above him a president. Each of them is a controller. But one is controlled by the other. In Brahma Sanhita it is said that Krishna is the supreme controller. There are many controllers undoubtedly, both in material and spiritual world, but Krishna is the supreme controller. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna. And His body is Sachidananda, non-material. Material bodies cannot perform wonderful acts described in the previous verses. His body is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Although He is not a common man, the foolish deride Him and consider Him to be a man. His body is called here Manushin because He is acting just like a man, friend of Arjuna, politician involved in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In so many ways He is acting just like an ordinary man. But actually His body is Sachidananda Vigraha, eternal bliss, knowledge and absolute. This is confirmed in the Vedic language also. Sachidananda Rupaya Krishnaya. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the eternal blissful form of knowledge. This is in Gopal Tapani Upanishad. There are other descriptions in the Vedic language also. Tam ekam govindam. You are Govinda, the pleasure of the senses and the cows. Satchidananda vigraham. And your form is transcendental, full of knowledge and bliss and as eternally. This is also Gopal Tapani Upanishad. First chapter, 35th verse. Despite the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna's body, full of bliss and knowledge, there are many so-called scholars and commentators on Bhagavad Gita who derive Krishna as an ordinary man. Scholars may be born an extraordinary man due to his previous good work, but this conception of Krishna is due to a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore he is called Muda, means foolish. For only foolish persons consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being. The foolish consider Krishna as ordinary human being because they do not know the confidential activities of the Supreme Lord and His different energies. They do not know that Krishna's body is a symbol of complete knowledge and bliss, and that He is the proprietor of everything, and that He can award liberation to anyone. Because they do not know that Krishna has so many transcendental qualifications, they deride Him. Nor do they know that the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material world is a manifestation of His internal energy. He is the master of the material energy and has been explained in several places. Mama Maya Duratyaya. He claims that material energy, though very powerful, is under his control, and whosoever surrenders unto him can get out of the control of this material energy. If a soul surrendered to Krishna can get out of the influence of material energy, then how can the Supreme Lord, who conducts the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the whole cosmic nature, have a material body like us? So, this conception of Krishna is completely foolishness. Foolish person, however, cannot conceive that the personality of Godhead, Krishna, appearing just like an ordinary man, can be controller of all the atoms and all the gigantic manifestation of the universal form. The biggest of the minutest and are beyond their conception. So, they cannot imagine the form like that of a human being can simultaneously control the infinite and the minute. Actually, although he is controlling the finite and infinite, he is apart from this manifestation. It is clearly stated concerning his Yogam Aishwaram, his inconceivable transcendental energy, that he can control the finite and infinite simultaneously and that he can remain aloof from them. Although the foolish cannot imagine how Krishna, who appears just like a human being, can control the finite and infinite, those who are pure devotees accept this, for they know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they completely surrender unto Him and engage in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord. There are many controversies between the impersonalist and personalist about the Lord's appearance in the human being. But if we consult Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the authoritative text for understanding the science of Krishna, then we can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not an ordinary man, although he appears on this earth as an ordinary man. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, where the sages headed by Saunaka inquire about the activities of Krishna, Kritavana Kila Karmani Saharamena Keshava Atimartyani Bhagavan Gudha Kapatamanusha. Says, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being and so must perform many superhuman acts. The Lord's appearance as a man bewilders the foolish. No human being could performed the wonderful acts that Krishna performed while he was present on this earth. When Krishna appeared before his father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, he appeared with four hands. But after the prayers of the parents, he transformed him into the ordinary child. As stated in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 3rd chapter, 46th verse, Babhuva prakritaha shishuhu. He became just like an ordinary child, an ordinary human being. Now, herein again it is indicated that the Lord's appearance as an ordinary human being is one of the features of his transcendental body. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, it is stated that Arjun prayed to see Lord Krishna's form of 400, teneva rupena chatur bhujena. After revealing this form, Krishna, when petitioned by Arjun, again assumed his original human-like form, manushim rupam. These different features of the Supreme Lord are certainly not those of an ordinary human being. Some of those who deride Krishna and who are infected with Mayavadi philosophy quote the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 29th chapter, 21st verse, to prove that Krishna is just an ordinary man. Aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma avasthita sada. The Supreme is present in each and every living entity. We should better take note of this particular verse from Vaishnava acharyas like Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, instead of following the interpretation of unauthorized persons who deride Krishna. Jiva Goswami, commenting on this verse, says that Krishna, in his plenary expansion as Paramatma, is situated in moving and non-moving entities as a super soul. And so any neophyte devotee who simply gives this attention to the Archamurti in the form of a spiritual lord or the supreme lord in the temple and does not respect the other living entities is uselessly worshipping that form of the lord in the temple. There are three kinds of devotees of the Lord, and the neophyte is the lowest stage, and the neophyte devotees give more attention to the deity in the temple than the other devotees. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wants that this sort of mentality should be corrected. A devotee should see that because Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma, everybody is the embodiment of the temple of the Supreme Lord. So, as one offers respects to the temple of the Lord, he should similarly properly respect each and every body in which Paramatma dwells. Everyone should therefore be given proper respect and should not be neglected. There are so many impersonalists who deride temple worship. They say that since God is everywhere, why should one restrict himself to the temple worship? But if God is everywhere and he is not in the temple or the deity? Although the personalist and impersonalist will fight with one another perpetually, a perfect devotee in Krishna consciousness knows that although Krishna is the Supreme Personality, he is all-pervading as confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Although his personal abode in Goloka Vrindavan and he is always staying there by his different manifestation of the energy and by his plenary expansion, he is present everywhere in all parts of the material and spiritual creation. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militanjena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Nitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Nitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shirada Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sati Devi Pranamami Shri Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Bolo Sabhi
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
first deride me, thinking that I am one of them when I descend in my human-like form. Because they do not know my supreme nature, that I am the proprietor and the master or the controller of each and every one of them. So, this particular verse is very important for those who are devotees. Impersonalists are not called devotees. Even yogis are not called devotees. These are the different methods to understand some aspect of the Absolute Truth. Not all. So, if one resorts to it, it's simply a partial realization. You might have heard that the Absolute Truth, to understand the Absolute Truth, there are three different ways: jnana, karma, and bhakti. They said these are the three different ways. Empirical knowledge means simply establishing theoretical paradigms, through the knowledge of the Shastras, one come to understand that the Supreme is not this, not this, not this. Because everything is perishable around it. Therefore, it's not the Supreme Truth. They know the truth, if it is having an emergence or birth, is sustained for some time and then dissolved. How can it be truth? Because it's totally changing. So, in the Shastra, people think, those who are simply by dint of their knowledge, their studies scrutinizing so many literatures. But in Kali Yuga, it's not possible. Because it's too much to read, too much to scrutinize. Previously, people had time. So, when we see that the process of knowledge is very tedious, it's an analytical process. You have to analyze every damn thing. Modern science is also another analytical process by splitting the atom, by electron bombardment and so much. But they cannot get into the Absolute Truth. Something slips away. So, now we see how yogis do. They do a lot of austerity and karma. Ashtanga Yoga is a very, very stern discipline to concentrate or prepare the body and mind so they can meditate upon the Supreme. Right? And generally, Ashtanga Yoga, the meditation will be on the heart only, within himself. He doesn't go much in detail, even think of reading. But because mind is restless, it is also not possible for us. So that karma means performance of such stringent austerities and meditative processes is entailing karma. So people think by karma we can become completely knowledgeable about the Absolute Truth. But there is another process by bhakti. If you know some person and engage in loving devotion to him, you think you will know everything. But that's fine. But what does that have to do with the personal aspect of the Supreme Absolute Truth? Impersonal means through the knowledge. Paramatma means localized, and Bhagavan aspect is the personality aspect. The personality has to be understood. You are a person, so you have personality. What do you think your personality is? How can you express your personality? Simply by look? Look of the body? There are also different ways to understand the personality of an individual. That's by character, behavior. What's his mindset? Right? It's not the image that we see in the mirror is our personality. No. Calvin Klein is not our personality. Right? But personality means individuality with the form. It's called Swarupa. This personality for the Supreme, is it possible? And that's what Krishna is telling in this verse. He has a transcendental personality, and he says he is exactly looking like us. And it is confirmed in the 11th chapter also by Arjuna. After showing the universal form of, you know, thousands of heads and hands and mouths and, you know, what a personality. If somebody has four hands, he becomes an talk of the town. Everybody will come and look at him. He will probably go in the Guinness Book. Guinness Book of Records. You never know. But if this personality of thousands of hands, and then it is something extraordinary, we think. But it is not original either. He said, the two-handed form of the Lord is the original personality. Two-handed form. And Arjuna was able to relate to that only, not for 400 or 1,000-headed. So how to understand that the Lord has a body like, or looking like us? The thing is that in spiritual science, you have to learn other way around. Because the Lord has two-handed form of the body, and we wanted to imitate him, therefore we assumed a two-handed form. Man is made in the image of God. And image is completely opposite to the original. He may look like us. We take for granted. But actually our behavior and the Lord's behavior is exactly opposite. His configuration and our bodily configuration is opposite. He is Sachidananda Vigraha, and we are stinking Vigrahas. What's good in your body? Nothing. Made up of pus, stool, urine. It's a bag of bones. Right? And we think we are so proud of our body. So, how does your body form? I'm not talking of embryology, but by constitution. How is the body formed? What is the body?
Bones inside.
Yeah, but how do they form? What is it in the terms of matter?
Earth, water, fire.
Earth, water, fire, air, ether. What are these? Gross. Material elements or material energies. material energies.
Atoms.
Atoms, but material energy, right? Atoms are coming from material energy. Material energy means when energy is surcharging its medium. Every medium is a particular medium. It has particles. Even the light has photons, and photons are charged up particles. So in particular theory, everything is particular. The particles can be material and anti-material. Particles can be material and anti-material. We have experience only of material particles, so we consider our body to be all in all, that would know. But Krishna says something else, that his body is anti-particular. And because we think that he looks like us when he appears amongst us, 5,000 years back, say, take it for granted. Otherwise, Gandhiji was doubting. In his autobiography, The Experiments with Truth, Gandhi wrote that 5,000 years back, Lord Sri Krishna was moving around amongst us. I have a doubt. He didn't have faith in the personality aspect. Right? So when we see that, what is he talking? He doesn't understand the form or swarup of the Lord. If he would have commented on this verse, but generally impersonalists avoid this kind of verses. They are not favorite verses of impersonalists. Those who study Bhagavad Gita. They hide them. They select out only few verses that will say something about impersonal aspect. And see in Bhagavad Gita it is said, oh, I am sitting in everyone's heart as a witness and sanctioner of his desires. Who has gone to see him? So naturally they will get away. Krishna says that as Paramatma, the unseen, I'm sitting in everyone's heart as the witness of the Jivatma's activities, and because I'm fulfilling everyone's desire, I am bestowing it. And permitter. Witness and permitter. So, who has gone to see? Nobody knows that the Lord has a form there. Does a witness need a form? They say, all our activities are being witnessed by the superior authority, like the sun, moon, stars, the directions are also called witnesses. They influence on our activity. So somehow or another they are all involved. Baba, who has seen personality of direction? Nobody knows. So impersonalists think only that Krishna is material. He is just like one of us. They never care to understand that the entire material aspect of the existence. So, if our bodies are made up of material particles, which are bound by three modes of material nature, energy has to be bound up by modes. Modes means qualities. Energy plus its salient qualities, when they come together, you get a form. Three-dimensional form. Three-dimensional form. The form is produced by combination of material energy plus the modes. There are three modes of material nature: mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. And material energies are there, which are transformations in the particles of earth, water, air, fire, ether. Right? So they constitute the body. But the soul is part and parcel of the supreme whole in spiritual constitution. It has its own body too. Original body, which may look like it has two hands, two legs. It's easy to understand. Suppose if I take out your sweater, then your shirt and the pant, alright, and hang it on the wall. Won't it give the shape of your body? Right? It means, whatever the covering over the body, original body, it retains the shape at least. It retains the shape. That is soul. Have you seen ghostly cartoons? Kasper the... Oh, you know that, Kasper the ghostly friend. Kasper the ghost. What kind of body does it have?
Ghostly body.
Ghostly body, but in the shape which is identical to? It has a head, it has two hands. They may not be in proper formative way, but it gives the idea... As if they have, he has two legs, the body is there, with the head and two hands. Is it not? So, if imagination is also driving towards that, the understanding is that because the soul has original body, and if by mistake he is being covered by the body of opposite elements, the material elements, then it has to keep on layering up. The soul is covered by seven layers, or eight layers, what we call. There are eight clothings, different kind of clothing the soul is wearing. Plus what you put, like Pierre Ricardin or, you know, something, that these are extra clothings. But the original eight clothings are three subtle and five gross, and they are of material nature. That the soul gets that clothing. Because if he develops opposite nature, it will be almost identical to the original constitution. But it would be a different medium. Instead of spiritual body, which will become obscure and covered with material body. So the formative situation is to be understood. Krishna says that I have Satchidananda body. Sat means eternality, Chit means full of knowledgeability and bliss. Now, do you have that body or not? Do we have that Satchidananda body or not? If you are soul, you should have, is it not? If you are soul, you should have it. But it becomes obscured by coverings. So therefore, it's too easy to think that we are this material body. Because who has seen the deep down within us? It requires a great deal of introspection. And we don't have time for it. We don't have time for introspection. Don't have time for understanding our own self. So how is it possible to understand Krishna? Therefore, he says that because you don't understand, the fools do not understand the transcendental nature of his original Swarupa. So whenever he comes in the human-like form, which is his original form, we think that he is one of us. We think he is one of us. But then Prabhupada gives so many arguments from the different scriptures that the Lord appears on his sweet will. He is not forced to appear, just like us. So one must be very well conversant with the spiritual identity, the form of the spirit. It's not that the spirit is formless. Nirguna nirakar. Nirguna means without any quality, and nirakar means formless. Nirgun nirakar is the influence. It doesn't have anything to do with, but whose influence? There must be a person to exert the influence, then and then its influence can expand. The influence of an object should be there. Is it understandable? How will you repose your faith in Krishna? By blindly believing? Or try to scrutinizingly understand what he says and how is it possible? A devotee becomes so much aware of his words and try to understand thoroughly. Because not a single word spoken by the Lord is useless, but it is totally in tune with the absolute truth about him. So therefore we are required to speak the truth of absolute nature, however impalatable it may be. For our social grouping and trying to work out, we have to speak the truth which is relative in nature, but sweet way. But Krishna says mudha. Mudha is not a sweet word at all. Foolish, rascal. But by dictionary meaning, if we understand that he is trying to chastise, correct, by telling spade a spade. Rascal means mischievous. Even though he knows, he doesn't want to accept this authority. That's all. Knowingly committing mistake is called rascaldom. So fools and rascals deride me. They think when I descend in human-like form, they think that I am one of them. But param bhavam ajananta mama bhuta maheshwaram. Param bhavam ajananta. Param bhav means divya bhav, the divine nature. Divine nature depends upon satchidananda qualities. And these qualities are binding spiritual energies to make the form of the Lord, which is eternally blissful and knowledgeable. That's why he can say, Arjun, you can't remember your past life, but I remember not only yours, but each and every living entity's past life. See the power of the consciousness? The Supreme Consciousness is so powerful, knows past, present and future, because it's a continuity. And he remembers everything by the dint of that qualitative existence in spirituality. Because the nature of spirituality is all knowledgeable. How do you know my past? How do you know my present? How do you know my future? Huh? We try to get some palmist and tell, hey Baba, जरा बता दे मेरे नसीब में बीबी है कि नहीं मेरे अरे ये है कि नहीं. There are so many things, but they are simply speculators. That is not called knowing the past, present or future. In USA and Australia and all other nations, people, you know, the gypsies got that business of looking or becoming a clairvoyance. Clairvoyance means they think that they have ability to look into your future. So they hold a crystal ball and they have a gimmick. In India, on the roadside, we see ordinary guy sitting with a little cage and parrot and few cars and tortoise, and they will start telling them. It's gimmick. That is not trikalagya. You know, to know past, present, and future depends upon the quality of all knowledgeability, and that is divine in nature. And this quality belongs to the soul, not to the material body. If a person is clairvoyant or knowing past, present and future, why does he need a crystal ball? Why does he need a parrot? People are, making the show of religion by pulling a bull. And if the bull says yes, then look, he says yes, you can't cheat him. You know? So he knows everything as if. But people obsessed with different desires, so unsatiable desire, that actually their mind is clogged up and they can't figure out what the bull is telling or what the person, owner of the bull, is telling. You know? It's simply a cheating process. So we can't underestimate The important verse is that Krishna asserts himself in the personality aspect. When he uses me, mattaha, means mine, he indicates himself. Nobody else is being indicated instead as the Supreme. He said me. Then some imposters will say, oh, when he says me, means it also applies to me. But your me is imitation me. You're not created any damn thing. And how would you want to claim the credit for all this? It's a cheating process. All religions are cheating if they are devoid of this, the transcendental nature. They are cheating religions. Srimad Bhagavatam declares so boldly, because Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita tells that give up all varieties of conceptions and just surrender to me. And who has created these conceptions? Man, a foolish man. Under the pretense of the religion, they create so many misconceptions and none of them will tell exactly what Krishna says. That sarva dharmana parityajya mamekam sarnam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyam mokshayishyami mashucha. They say, no, you give up all the varieties of religion, just surrender to me, my religion only. That's what Krishna says. No, Krishna says, he is. And why do you apply to him? You can't apply for yourself. You have to apply for Krishna. So the cheating begins right from them. And so many scholars try to dissuade that. Even Shankaracharya led the way. Shankaracharya came with a specific purpose to cheat the Buddhist. So he can reintroduce the Vedic authority. That was the only function. But for cheating, what he has to do? He has to deny the Supreme Lord and tell, no, I'm God, not you. Because I have come to the knowledge about you, I'm God. Otherwise, who would know you? If I do not know Aham Brahmasmi, then how would you know? Therefore, I am God. When you know that you are also Brahma, then okay, I am God and you are also God. This is their philosophy. Cheating. God cannot be two. And none of you are God. Means I am not God, you are not God. Krishna remains God by all authorities. Shankaracharya, tried to juggle with the words in order to kick the Buddhism out, the atheism out. But when he says that Aham Brahmasmi, I am God, and there is no Krishna, then he is also an atheist. So Advaita Siddhanta is actually atheism, but it made a good impact on the Buddhism. So at the cost of Buddhism, establishing the Vedic authority became possible. So our premise is to know the Supreme Absolute Truth in personality aspect is most essential. We do not negate the impersonal aspect. Because Krishna doesn't negate that too. But it is not giving the full realization, that's for fact. It is a partial influence of the Lord. So here, when Krishna says, avajananti mama mudha manushim tanu masitam param bhavam ajananta mama bhuta maheshwaram. So our only problem to understand Krishna is this bodily conception. This is the greatest impediment. We must remove the bodily conception. How would you remove the bodily conception? By removing the body? No. We are in the body. But how would we remove the bodily conception? Conception comes in the mind. Mind thinks only on the basis of material sense perceptions. Right? So the conceptions are in the mind. Can you imagine Brahma also conceived through mind? So many gods and demigods. Like Narada is also called Brahma's Manas Putra. Right? Four Kumaras were also born from Brahma's mind. Then Even Saptarshis, they were coming from Brahma's mind. Even Rudra came out from Brahma's mind. Brahma started creation mentally first. And his mind was so powerful that manifestation was there. We can't even manifest anything by mind. Only thing is that after hard struggle, if we get some click or idea, then we start working with the material energy and try to create in imitation of Brahma. But the idea comes from mind. Right? So, to conceive means to think within mind first. This is how Brahma started creation. And then, his mental conceptions were not competent, because what happened, it is said in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, to increase the population, he told the rishis, alright, you become the progenitor, Prajapatis. Some of the rishis agreed, others didn't. Then, when some of them didn't agree, so Brahma became angry. And Rudra slipped out from his mind. And Rudra was ordered, okay, you become Prajapati. So Rudra started proliferating. And Rudras are angry, they will devour those Prajas which are born from the rishis of mental conception. So there was no increment in the population. Brahma had to go and told the Rudras, you are supposed to be Prajapatis, not destroyer of Praja. Why do you kill them? Better preserve. So, Brahma's order they have to follow now. Then and then the population started, but it was not enough. It was not enough to inhibit the entire Brahmand. So, by the prowess of Brahma, Manu and Shatrupa were begotten. Male and female concept came after them. So Manu and Shatrupa, they were engaged in union and the Praja started being. So the we are human being on the basis of Manu and Shatrupa. So that's why we are called Manavas. Manavas means the descendants of Manu. In Brahma's day there will be 14 Manus to rule. And right now we are in the seventh Manu. It's called Vaivasvata Manu, who is the ruler. And he is the son of Sun God. When Krishna came 5,000 years back, he is giving this imperishable science as previously he gave to. Therefore he remembers and told Arjuna, that evam vivasvate manava proktavahanam avyayam vivasvanamane praha manu rikshvakave abhavi. I told this imperishable science of Krishna consciousness millions of years ago to the sun god, and sun god told his son to Vivasvan, and Vivasvan told to his son Manu, and Manu told to his son Ikshvaku. So, evam parampara praptam imam rajasoyavidam. This imperishable science of revelation of Krishna's spirituality, and therefore everyone has to worship him as the Supreme, was given in the form of parampara. But this parampara can be lost according to the influence of time and long duration. It takes long duration. But Krishna says, I am re-establishing the same science through you, Arjuna. Yeah. So this is how we are getting that. Because Arjuna did not preach, right? But what Arjuna and Krishna were talking, it was received through who? Sanjay. Sanjay was talking to Dhritarashtra. So Sanjay was the son of, the disciple of Vyasadeva. So the parampara continues from Vyas to Narad. Narad to Vyas and Vyas to Madhvacharya, the other way around. So the thing is that imperishable science of the personality aspect must be studied under the bona fide disciplic succession. Brahma accepts. And all descendants in Brahma Sampradaya, they accept. And Prabhupada put this too much weight on it in order to emphasize the devotional aspect is not only a sentimental a lady's job, you know. Rather, it is the mature understanding for all intelligent people of the world. You know, they have to systematically prove how would you say that this conception of personality is correct. You know, so this is an important aspect now in learning Bhagavad Gita. Would you take or put a blind faith on accepting Krishna's personality? So we have to systematically accept how the principles will manifest into particular examples. So anyone has any question?
Just one question, Mahaji. If the Lord has original form as 200 human life, why did he then assume the 400 forms? The reason behind that?
Well, because some forms are secondary forms. But primary form, the original form, is two-handed. When he descends in the form of an avatar, he comes through the medium of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the third number Vishnu, not the second or first even. Of course, he descends from the topmost. Therefore, he paves his way. Through the Vishnu Tattva. But he comes as he is. So, Vishnu Tattva has to come first. So, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the third Vishnu, appeared before Devaki and Vasudeva. But then, the Lord has to transform himself into his original form as requested by Devaki and Vasudeva. Devaki and Vasudeva in their previous birth in the millennium before, they were Kashyap and Aditi, and they wanted at the same way Lord to be their son. And he appeared in two-handed form, right? And he wanted to go and cheat Bali immediately. And that form was as a young boy. not as an infant. And previous to that millennium, the same Kashyap and Aditi were Prishni and Sutapa. And they were again worshipping at that time to receive the Lord as their son. But at that time, Lord appeared as their son in the form of Hiranyagarbha, and it was an adult form. And he also left the parents immediately after appearing. So, which form now you are thinking is the original form? 400 or 200? According to Bhagavad Gita, let's read this. It will be very interesting. Which form is the original form? In 11th chapter, when Arjun was very much disturbed by seeing the thousand-headed form, because it's material form, it's not spiritual form. Yet, all the demigods and everyone are residing at one place, in one body of the Lord. That is Virata form or universal form. Because everything is manifested by the material energy, and that form the Lord assumed. It's material in nature. Nobody worships Virat form. There are no temples in India. That is the reason. You know? Only we worship the transcendental Lord, Krishna. Krishna's form, which is two-handed form. Okay. We are reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 11 and text number 47. Right. Why? This is where Krishna starts telling Arjuna. But previous to there, in verse number 45-46, Arjuna admits that adrashta purva rasitosmi drashtva bhayane cha pravyathitam manome tadeva me darshaya deva rupam prasida deva jagannivasa. Translation: after seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. Kiritinam gadinam chakrahastam icchami tvam drashtumaham tateva teneva rupena chaturbhujena sahastrabhavo bhava vishvamurte. O universal form, O thousand-armed form of the Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch shell and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. From thousand-headed form, now he wants to see the Lord in four-handed form. Then, Lord Krishna is showing it. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Maya prasannena tavarjunedam rupam param darshayam atma yogat tejo mayam vishvamanantamadyam yanme tvade neva drishtapurvam. The Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Arjuna, happily I have shown you by my internal potency this supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. Then he says, na veda dhyanena दानेर न क्रियम भेर न तपोर उपग्रहेहि एवं रूपे शक्य अहम नृलोके द्रष्टुम तदन्येव कुरु प्रवीर ओ बेस्ट ऑफ द कुरु वॉरियर्स नो वन बिफोर यू हैव एवर सीन दिस यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म ऑफ माइंड फॉर नीदर बाय स्टडिंग ऑफ द वेदर्स नोर बाय परफॉर्मिंग सेक्रीफाइस नोर बाय चैरिटी और नोर बाय pious activity nor by severe penances can I be seen in this form, in the material form or the world. Then he responds for the fear of Arjuna. The Lord says, Mate vyathita macha vimud bhavo drashtva rupam gormindam amedam vyapeta bihi pritamana punastvam tadeva me rupam idam prapashya. You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form that you desire. Arjuna asked 400 forms. Now the Lord is showing him. Sanjaya Vacha. Ityarjun Vasudevas Tathoktva Svakam Rupam Darshayamasa Bhuya आश्वासयामासा च भीतमेनं भूत्वा पुनः सौम्य वपुर महात्मा. संजय सेड टू धृतराष्ट्र, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड कृष्णा हैविंग स्पोकन दस टू अर्जुन डिस्प्लेड हिज रियल फॉर्म आर्म्ड फॉर्म एंड एट लास्ट शोड हिज टू आर्म्ड फॉर्म दस एनकरेजिंग द फियरफुल अर्जुन. सो इन द पर्पचुअल प्रभुपाद सेज दैट when Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudev Devaki, he first of all appeared at four-armed Narayan. But when he was requested by his parents, he transformed himself into an ordinary child in appearance. Similarly, Krishna knew that Arjun was not interested in seeing the 400 form. But since Arjun asked to see this 400 form, Krishna also showed him this form again and then showed himself into two-headed form. The word Saumya Vapuhu is very significant. Saumya Vapuhu is a very beautiful form, which is known as the most beautiful form. When he was present everywhere, he was attracted simply by Krishna's form. And because Krishna is the director of the universe, he just banished the fear of Arjuna, his devotee, and showed him again this beautiful form of Krishna. In that Brahma Sanhita it is stated that Premanjana Chrita Bhakti Vilochanjana. Only a person whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love can see the beautiful form of Krishna. Now Arjuna is telling. Arjuna Vacha. Drashtvedam Manushum Rupam Tavya Saumyam Janardana Idanimasmi Samruta Sacheta Prakritingata. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardhan, seeing this human-like form, so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature. Jiva Goswami also comments on this particular verse that Arjuna is saying, Idanimasmi. Idanimasmi. Now this particular two-headed form. The words Manushum Rupam clearly indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be originally two-headed. Those who deride Krishna as if he were an ordinary person are shown here to be ignorant of his divine nature. If Krishna is like an ordinary human being, then how is it possible for him to show the universal form and again to show the 400 Narayan form? So it is very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita that one who thinks that Krishna is an ordinary person and who misguides the reader by claiming that it is the impersonal Brahman within Krishna speaking is doing the greatest injustice. Krishna has actually shown his universal form and his 400 Vishnu form. So how can he be an ordinary human being? A pure devotee is not confused by the guiding commentaries of Bhagavad Gita, this misguiding commentaries of Bhagavad Gita, because he knows that what is what. The original verse of Bhagavad Gita is clear as the sun, and that they do not require lamplight of foolish commentators. So, this is what is meant by the original form. Why do we worship Krishna in two-handed form? That is it. When you will say, who came first? Vishnu came first or Krishna came first?
That is actually the thing that I'm finding confusing, because when I was reading, they used to say that Vishnu is a mool group and Krishna is one of the avatars. When we read this Bhagavad Gita, it's different.
Can both concept simultaneously present or not? If somebody say Krishna came from Vishnu, and if I say Vishnu came from Krishna, can we both write or not?
Yes.
Is it unifying or not?
Yes, it is.
How?
It kind of shows that the duality of duality.
There is no duality. This is transcendental nature, both of Krishna and Vishnu remains the same. So what is the difference? If you think Krishna has come from Vishnu, you are also right within that realm. But if I say Vishnu came from Krishna, this is also proven by the Shastras.
Both are right.
Of course. Therefore, we don't see difference between Krishna. The difference within the relishment, those who are generally in South India, the followers of Ramanuja, the Vishnu form, they appreciate the Vaikuntha Mukti to be the highest goal. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself. He wanted to release Radha's intimate love of Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan. Therefore, the Shastra tells, Srimad Bhagavatam tells, even Brahma in this disciplic succession realizes about Mahavishnu. He said, Yasvaisa Vishwasati Kalama Thavalambya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandana Vishnur Mahahi Yasya Kala Visheshu Govinda Madhi Purushantama. A Mahavishnu is only a portion of the Supreme Absolute Truth who is known as Govinda in Golok Vrindavan. So, these statements are not wrong. It depends upon the relishment, the rasa. Rasas are higher. In Vaikuntha rasa, you are worshipping the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in an expanded form. You worship in awe and reverence. Awe and reverence is rasa. But in Guru Vrindavan, it is Madhurya. And Madhurya, Swakiya and Parakiya rasas are there. Dwarka Leela is different on the different level with legally married wives of Lord Krishna. But Vrindavan is Parakiya rasa. It's called Paramour love. The taste of Paramour love is more intensified than Swakiya love. So, these are details of relishment of Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes. So, both are right. It's a realm of transcendence, that's why. What we are interested in here to understand Vishnu Tattva. So by Tattva, both Krishna and Vishnu are in Vishnu Tattva.
What was Shri Krishna known as before 5,000 years, before the avatar came? Before the avatar as a Krishna king, what was that?
He was Krishna in Golok Vrindavan. Okay. And Krishna in Golok Vrindavan doesn't put up a step outside. So therefore it is said that when he descended, he brought his dham along with him. Isn't it tricky? He is very tricky. When he wants to descend, all the firmament becomes favorable and create the transcendental nature for his appearance. Because he is the mastermind. Right? So, the proposition is that the intensity of the love expressed is more than remaining religious. The purpose of becoming religious is to attain the love of Godhead. In whichever our Swarupa is, that has to be it. Arjun appreciated this Swarupa where he was connected as a friend. Right? So friendship is a relationship. This friendship cannot be found with other forms of the Lord. Can you make friendship? You have two hands, and can you make friendship with 400 men? I want to speak of thousand-headed person of the personality. How can you make friendship? Form is not a fanciful creation of an artist. The form of the Lord is factual by constitution of transcendence. Transcendence can be explained, transcendence can be understood. Transcendence can be practiced. So, we have to come to that realm of transcendence in devotional service to appreciate the form of the Lord. It's a verifiable fact. But if we can assume a material form, why can't we have a spiritual form? What's the difficulty there? If somebody said, impossible, impossible is a word only in Fool's Dictionaries. So, we were talking of that principle which is inconceivable. Transcendence is inconceivable. But yet, you are constituted. Therefore, you will be able to experience. If you or us, our souls are transcendental in nature, therefore we hanker to understand transcendence and we achieve that transcendence by practice. Too difficult. Very difficult. Arre Baba, you have form and Krishna doesn't have form. How is it possible? How did your form came about? Otherwise, you should be formless. Manifestation. People say, "Oh, where was Krishna before he was born from Devaki's womb?" And Krishna says, "Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyate mam abuddhaya." Abuddhaya means those who don't have intelligence. They think that I have become manifested from my previous unmanifested form. I'm always manifested. But you don't have eyes to see. Your eyes are so much buried under these coverings. You are blinded. You can't see. Too heavy. Come on. Don't be impersonal with Krishna. Be personal. This is very important in devotional service. Are you in business? Yeah? Will you? No chance? Who is in the business? Nobody doing business. Otherwise, manufacturing will be there. Anyway. Many a times, even the factual situations are existing right before our eyes, we tend to, bypass the attention. This is an impersonal way to deal. But Arjuna was a person, so we are persons. Our complete satisfaction to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth is in personality. You read the opinion of Krishna himself in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is asking, "My dear Lord, should I worship you in your unmanifested form or in a manifested form?" And Krishna says, "Of course, manifested form. But those who are contemplating on the impersonal aspect, unmanifested aspect, they also indirectly worship me, indirectly, not directly." If you worship directly, you will have a direct result. If you worship indirectly, you will be having indirect results. If you love Krishna, then you will love everybody. If you don't love Krishna, no chance. That idea is simply not born yet. If you don't cultivate devotional service. Another thing, if you love your father, then it's possible to love your brother. Because father becomes the common denominator for love. If you don't love the father, your two brothers cannot have love. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.